You're listening to the Australian Water Association podcast series. My name is Jo Taranto, and I'm joined today by Associate Professor Liu Ye at the University of Queensland from the School of Chemical Engineering. And today we're talking about net zero emissions in the water industry. Liu, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Jo. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Liu, the impact of climate change has become more and more obvious, and I think we all recognise that greenhouse gas emissions must be significantly reduced in the next decade, you know, to reduce those risks of catastrophic warming. What's the status in Australia at the moment, and indeed the world, when it comes to these net zero goals?
Yeah, that's a good question. Certainly, we agree that climate change has to be shared or mitigated by all the sectors, and water sector is one of those. From international level, I think all the government have made the commitment to reduce the emission. For example, Australian government have made a net zero emission commitment by 2050, and also US, European, it's all by mid-century, they will achieve net zero emission. And China also recently target to achieve net carbon emissions by 2060. And for water sectors, I think many Australian water utilities actually made even more targeted. For example, Melbourne Water, SA Water have made a net zero emission by 2030. Like Icon Waters, they made a commitment to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions, achieve net zero by 2045. So in general, I think all the water utilities and water sectors have made a clear target to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions and to achieve net zero emission.
So there's obviously a commitment there. What are the key issues and barriers for achieving net zero for emissions for the water industry?
Yeah, so probably I should first introduce about what does net zero emission means for water industry. So that means the water utility as a whole, they need to have a balance, overall balance between greenhouse gas emission they produced and also the greenhouse gas emissions taken out from the atmosphere. For water industry to look at the greenhouse gas emissions, we look at different scopes. So scope one is the direct greenhouse gas emission coming out from the treatment process during the wastewater treatment. And scope two emissions are the indirect emissions from their power consumption. So that's related to the energy consumption when they're used as pumping stations or electricity supply for aerations or other usage. So with scope one and scope two emissions as a total, that's the total emissions they need to report as a generation.
And so what are the key barriers to do that?
In terms of the barriers to achieve net zero, I think the first barrier is the policy level. So how government can make a policy that lead the industry through this process. So far, it's relatively less governmental guided. So far, it's more like reporting. There's no sort of guidelines to guide industry how to achieve this through this journey. In terms of the technology level, I think compared with the scope one, scope two emission, because scope two emission is more related to the power consumptions. So, but because of the renewable energy is become more and more easy access, we have solar, we have wind, treatment plant can also generate biogas from the waste activity sludge. So the renewable energy now become easy access. So scope 2 emission is something, an easy target. So all the water industry can achieve scope 2 emissions reduced generally easily. However, with scope 1 emission, which is also called the fugitive greenhouse gas emission, it's more the greenhouse gas generated from the treatment process. So we are more talking about two greenhouse gas. One is called nitrous oxide, N2O. So that is generated during the nitrogen removal process. The other one is methane. So methane is generated during the COD conversion or even generated during the wastewater transportation underground of the sewers. So these two greenhouse gases are very difficult to quantify. And also there is no such a guideline available to guide industry how to quantify, how to reduce them. So that makes very difficult for water industry to reduce their scope one emission.
And you've obviously done a lot of work around this scope one fugitive greenhouse gas emissions, Liu. What have you been seeing and what have you been hearing in the industry when it comes to quantifying and managing those gases?
Yes, so in the past 10 years, I've collaborating with many water utilities in Australia to help them quantify the scope one emissions from the treatment processes. They don't know how to quantify, so there's no methodology available. And also, after we look at a different configuration of the plant, we found that different configuration may require different quantification design. Second, in terms of understanding, so different plants really have their different operation conditions. So when we monitor the greenhouse gas, in the end, we found it's very related to the plant operation itself. So how to interpret the data from the quantified results, that's also very difficult.
In your work, Leah, you talk about the fact that Australian water utilities are really pioneers in achieving carbon neutrality goals. Why do you think that is?
I think because Australia is a developed country, so in terms of the management of operation of the plant, the technology is relatively mature. So I think the next stage for the water utility is how to achieve more energy efficient operation. And then more recently, they start to build up the sustainable management and also carbon neutrality goals in their strategic plan. That makes a lot of water utilities start to quantify their greenhouse gas emissions. More importantly, because I think at international and national guideline levels, currently the reporting is only using a fixed factor guide them to report their greenhouse gas emissions. So most of the Australian water utility believe that is not true. So they definitely want to know what exactly how much greenhouse gas is generated during their operation. So that drives them to look at how to quantify and how to mitigate their greenhouse gas emissions.
It sounds like a case of necessity being the mother of invention, and that, you know, if we need to create something, we have to go about and do that. So what do you see in when it comes to technology then and knowledge sharing in some of the utilities that you've worked with, Liu?
In general, I think in terms of technology, so with analytical itself, I think the detecting or measuring the greenhouse gas concentrations, that's quite mature, so that's not a concern. The more barriers or issues or technology there is, how to do the quantification, how to generate a protocol for the industry to be able to apply these existing analytical tools themselves to quantify that. So that currently serves as a gap. So we don't have this hands-on protocol available for them. In terms of the data generated with a few water utilities I've already worked on, like Melbourne Water, SC Water, Eken Water, in general, they are quite open to share the data we have generated from the quantification project of their plant. So they would like to discuss with other water utilities and generate or share the knowledge they have coming out from it. So I think as a researcher, my goal in the next is to help water industry to as a whole work out how we can generate a protocol to help them be able to quantify these greenhouse gas emissions themselves. The second is how to guide them to understand the data and help them to work out a strategy to understand the emission itself and eventually linked with the operation conditions they applied to the plant. Then lastly is to give or provide some strategy or guidelines to give them an idea how they can change their operation to reduce the emissions.
You've touched on it a little bit already, but what can the different stakeholders do to assist the water industry to really achieve those net zero goals?
Okay, I think to achieve net zero goals, definitely there are different levels of input required. For example, as mentioned, there are some missing guidelines or policies in terms of guide the industry through. So I think the government should take initiatives to call for ideas or to making these policies to drive this to drive the net zero emission pathway happen across the water industry. The second is for the industry themselves. So I think many industry now start to look at the net zero emission path, and with some of them already achieved 100% renewable energy reducing scope 2, but some of them haven't started. So that's sort of a pathway so they can really target to reduce the scope 2 emission first and then move on to the scope 1 emission. Then lastly, in terms of the how to reduce the scope 1 emission, definitely I think that will need some input from the research institute and work with industry together to develop strategies and develop protocols to further look at how we can quantify accurately and also develop mitigation strategy to reduce these emissions.
What possibilities lie ahead, as far as you see, Liu, in terms of achieving net zero emissions?
I think because we are talking about achieving net zero in the next decade or even longer time, I feel we still have a good opportunity there. So definitely the steps will be we try to reduce as much as what we can. So scope 2 is definitely not a concern. Then for scope 1, I think if with the development of the knowledge, the fundamental understanding, now with the development of the technology and even with the combination of the machine learning model into the digital world, we are looking at more possibilities to develop knowledge to understand what happened and how to mitigate. I have an example to share with the Scope 1 emission mitigation. It's a project that I have done with SA Water a few years ago. So after we quantify the greenhouse gas emissions at one of the largest treatment plant at SA Water in Adelaide, so it's Bolivar plant, and we found that it's the greenhouse gas emissions relatively related to the operation. So one of the stage of the operation emitted much more than another stage. So we do suggested a few mitigation strategies for them to implement. And at the beginning, it is difficult for them to implement the strategy because they are quite sure how that will affect their treatment performance itself. So we did look at the risks. We use modeling to help them to estimate, okay, what will be the impact. So after they implement that strategy, so it ended up with a 35% reduction of their nitrous oxide emissions. And in the meantime, because with that strategy, we also help them to reduce the energy cost associated with aeration. So they also end up with saving about 30% of their energy costs in the end. And I think if water utilities all try to put their efforts to look at how to mitigate their greenhouse gas scope 1 emissions, and then after that, that will greatly reduce the total emissions. And then with the leftover emissions, I think that will have to be looked after by some end of pipeline technology. So that's really the last final step we need to look at how we can achieve net zero.
It sounds like there's a lot of opportunities, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more and more about this in the coming years. I've been speaking with Associate Professor Liu Ye from the School of Chemical Engineering at the University of Queensland. Thanks, Leo, for your time.
Thanks, Jill. Thanks for having me.